Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Ladies and gentlemen, out of the gates, we have General Hamid Ghul, and of course, he was the head of Pakistani intelligence back in the 1980s. He went on CNN on Sunday night on one of their international programs and talked about the fact that he believed 9/11 was an inside job and that the Mumbai attacks, formerly Bombay, were also an inside job. As you know, we have detailed that that was a false flag attack carried out by Western intelligence, clearly in India, as a pretext to start World War III between the two nations. There were also calls, the Pakistani government has now said, that were officially made, confirmed with the phone records from the Indian Foreign Ministry, saying, we are going to attack you, attempting to trick the Pakistanis into launching some type of attack, and that almost happened. And so for the next 30 minutes, I'm very honored to be joined by General Hamid Ghul, and General joining us from Pakistan. Thank you so much for coming on with us today.
You're welcome.
Just out of the gates, I was told by your son that you were not happy with the CNN interview, that they edited you. So you've got the floor, sir. We're not going to edit you. You are live. So tell the world what is really going on.
Well, at the moment, we have to look at this great human tragedy that took place in Bombay. I sympathize with India. They've been rocked very badly. And their response is a bit nervous. They want to go to war with Pakistan if Pakistan does not behave or does not hand over whoever they want from us. They have given a list of people. But I think there has been a long record of the Indians accusing Pakistan whenever something like this happens. And in the past, they have turned out to be every time wrong. Of course, Pakistan is willing to cooperate, and I think that's a good position that President Zardari has taken, that you provide the evidence and we will try them out, we will arrest them, we will put them to trial, and you can come and watch, see, let the international cameras come and see, and there should be a transparent, open trial, and if that does not satisfy you, then what else will? So this is the situation where we stand today. There is an ominous threat from India, and America seems to be quietly patting them on the back and asking Pakistan to do whatever India is demanding. Now, this is an unfair position because India is not like America. America demanded from Pakistan back after 9/11 to cooperate and hand over anybody that Pakistan could lay their hands on. 700 or so people were caught in Pakistan. They were sent to Guantanamo Bay, to Bagram, and to Kandahar jails, and nothing came out. Khalid Sheikh Mohammed is the only one who is being tried in that case. All others have been let off. So to get innocent people like that, just because you accuse them and you don't even provide the evidence, you pick them up and shove them in jail, this is not on. I think this belittles the human values that particularly democracies uphold and they talk so much about. So I think Pakistan's offer is good enough. And today Pakistan cracked down on some of the defunct organizations. In fact, these were banned in the year 2002, immediately after 9/11. But there could be some maverick elements among them who would still, I won't rule out, could carry out on their own or in conjunction with some other forces such kind of atrocity. But we have to wait and see how it goes.
Okay, Mr. Ghul, General Hamid Ghul, please stay with us. We're going to break and come back in a long segment. Plenty of time for you to break down what's really happening, the serious tensions being risen due to what happened a few weeks ago in India. Please stay with us.
Mm-hmm.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Reading from Wikipedia, General Hamid Ghul served as Director General of Pakistan's Inner Service Intelligence, ISI, during 87-89, mainly in the time when Benazir Bhutto was Prime Minister of Pakistan. He was instrumental in the anti-Soviet support of the Mujahideen in the Afghan War, 79-89, a pivotal time during the Cold War, and it goes on. And we have him online with us. We, of course, yesterday played the CNN TV interview he did that was heavily edited. This is live and is not edited. Going back to him in Pakistan, we've tried three different lines. This is the best one we have. We apologize. Our audio is not loud to him, is not very audible. And obviously his audio back to us is very, very broken up. But we nevertheless have him joining us, and we're very thankful. Sir, continuing on the CNN program, at least what they edited you to say, you talked about 9/11, the evidence being that 9/11 was an inside job, and the attacks in Bombay, now Mumbai, a few weeks ago, that the evidence was it was an inside job. Can you go over the evidence that you believe that these are false flag events, sir, and why these false flag events are being staged?
Are you talking about 9/11?
Yes, sir.
Well, I have my own reasons. You know, Rod Norland was the senior reporter here. I think he was based in Islamabad at that time. And he came to me immediately after 9/11. And his version that I put out, it was given to the Newsweek, and unfortunately it was blocked. But it appeared on the internet, on the website of the Newsweek, and you can see it. I think it is dated 16th or 17th of September 2001. And in that, I had said the same thing, and I still maintain that that's my position. I have following reasons for it. A, that 9/11 took place on the American soil. Not a single person has been caught inside America. Even though for doing such a job, I think a huge amount of logistic support is required in the area where such operation is carried out. Secondly, the air traffic control, when they saw that four aircraft were changing direction, going from east coast to west coast where they were headed, they started traveling in different directions. And it is quite amazing that for a very long period of time, the air traffic control did not report this, nor did the U.S. Air Force act in time. If one were to calculate from the first flight when it took off from Logan till the first aircraft, and the solitary aircraft that took off was an F-16, which took off from Langley, which is CIA's headquarters, instead of one of the operational bases. So many of them are available in that area. And then a single aircraft never takes off, because we have been told that wherever the aircraft scramble, they scramble in twos. And the time that it took was enormous. It was 112 minutes. So 112 minutes is a very long time in which to act. Was the U.S. Air Force sleeping? And if it was sleeping, which heads were rolled? Second, it was a huge intelligence failure, and no heads have been rolled. Nobody has been taken to task. Not a single person has resigned for this. Thirdly, the air traffic control should have been rehashed. They should have been turned inside out, but nothing of the sort happened. And finally, how come this is a coincidence that four transponders did not work, and it is not possible? The direction is changed and it is not noted. Secondly, the U.S. Air Force has the ability, because in the past, whenever a plane has been hijacked, the record is that within 7 minutes, the U.S. Aircraft has been on the wing of the hijacked aircraft. In this case, it did not happen. The U.S. alert system is so high and it is so sophisticated that if a missile was to take off from Moscow and was to head towards New York, it takes about 18 minutes. and the U.S. Air Force and the missile system is supposed to intercept it within 9 minutes. That means on the Atlantic or on the Pacific, it must stop that missile from coming in. The system is in place, but it did not work, and nobody tried to question this. Lastly, no inquiry has so far been held formally into the incident, and the whole world has been turned upside down. So many people have been killed. American economy is going into a meltdown, and everything has gone wrong with the world, and yet no formal inquiry has been ordered by the U.S. government. So I really don't know. There are so many questions which hang in the balance. And then to top it all, they say that Atta Muhammad, who took training on a light aircraft in Miami for six months, he could have maneuvered a jumbo 757 from a height where it was traveling. That height was 9,000, and it came within seconds to a height of 1,000 and then went straight into its target. Now, this is not possible for a person who has been trained on a light aircraft to be able to do this.
Yes, sir.
And then there's no mention of the second aircraft. So there are a number of things which remain unanswered.
Yes, sir.
Whenever the journalists come and visit me here and I ask them these questions, that why haven't you taken the answers about this? They say that Patriotic Act comes in the way, and we are not supposed to ask such questions.
General, we are talking to General Hamid Ghul, the former head of Pakistani ISI during the key period fighting the Russians. He was also, before he was the head of ISI, one of the chiefs, according to our media, running operations against the Russians, and of course working with the United States closely, as well as the Saudi Arabians and the British. And if that's incorrect, correct me. General Ghul, what are the motives? We have PNAC with Dick Cheney saying they need a Pearl Harbor event. We have 44,000 U.S. troops massing in Tajikistan and Uzbekistan in the days before 9/11. We have Bush on September 10th, Newsweek reported, ordering the launch of attacks the next week. We have, of course, the buildings being blown up with explosives and all of the witnesses to that. Now the government admits that Building 7 did fall in free fall, was not hit by a plane. Specifically, sir, motives. Why would the military-industrial complex controlling the United States, why would they stage a 9/11 attack?
Well, I think after the Cold War, when Reaganomics, it was known as, the inflation was very high and the domestic issues had to be addressed. But Bill Clinton, two tenures, they really amassed a lot of money. American economy went booming and he left a lot of money. And the hard-boiled Cold Warriors, when they came in, they found that the situation was ready. They had money and they had resources, and they looked upon now the conquest of the world for which there was an opportunity window. The Muslim world was lying prostrate. Russia was not still picking up from its foreign position. China was not ready yet, and therefore they looked upon it as an opportunity to go and do the following. And in this, I'm a soldier, and I know that there has to be a single aim. But they mixed up the aims and they have botched up everything. First, they said that they would go into such strategic areas where there was no U.S. presence before, such as the Western Asia and South Asia, where there was no American physical presence and they wanted it there. They had to keep the Chinese off from getting into the Middle East. They had to lay their hands on the energy tap of the world, which presently lies in the Middle East, but in future it will be in Central Asia. And so Afghanistan is the gateway to Central Asia. And finally, to suppress any resistance, particularly which could threaten the state of Israel. Now that is where they, instead of pursuing the American objective, they started pursuing the Israeli objective, and that is where they went wrong. You have to pick up a single aim. This is the first principle of war. And I don't know why the generals and the politicians of America, they could be so naive and so ignorant that they started mixing aims. And they went into this war without wisdom, without particular preparation, and without the American support behind them. because if they had gone to vote and asked for support from the American people, they would have never given this support. So they had to create a pretext, and this was the pretext that they created.
General, we're going to break in a moment and come back with a final segment. Perhaps I can get you to stay a little bit longer because I want you to be able to speak unedited to the American people and the people of the world. I want to shift gears into Mumbai, what happened in India. Clearly the evidence of even the Indian intelligence chief, as you know, was saying that the Indian government was staging terror attacks on the train. An army captain was caught doing that and arrested. The chief of anti-terror was threatened. He was killed that day when it started in Mumbai. Now they have caught a anti-terror police officer giving cell phones to the supposed terrorists that they're saying came from Pakistan. We know the West is deeply in bed with some of the blocks of the former Mujahideen. Can you speak to that? General?
Can you hear me? I can't hear you properly, but can you hear me all right?
Yes, sir, I can hear you. When we come back, we will speak to what happened in India. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Good. Why they are staging terror attacks there, the evidence of false flag inside job in India. So when we return after this quick break with the former head of Pakistani intelligence, General Hamid Ghul, joining us from Pakistan. I am coming to you from Austin, Texas, hence the phone troubles. We'll work on those, sir, during the break. We will be right back. My websites, of course, are Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Stay with us. We'll be right back with this exclusive interview.
Everybody knows that the dice are loaded. Everybody rolls with their fingers crossed. Everybody knows war is over. Everybody knows the good guys lost.
We are back live. It is December 9th, 2008. General Hamid Ghul, one of the most famous members of and commanders of Pakistani intelligence, who worked in with the United States in the whole operation against the Russians, was the commander of those operations, is our guest with us graciously until 40 after. General, not wasting any more time, I listed earlier the fact that Indian intelligence captains in the Army have been caught in India staging bombings. That's Indian news, that Indian intelligence and police have been caught giving cell phones to the supposed shooters. The police stood down, and only the anti-terror commanders that had said that India was staging terror, they were killed in the initiation of the attacks in Mumbai. That's some of the evidence of Mumbai being an inside job. Namely, why do you believe Mumbai is a staged event 2 weeks ago, A, and B, what is the motive?
Well, the motive is very simple, that Americans want Indians to come on board with them in their war against terror, especially when they've run out of troops in Afghanistan. The NATO allies are pulling out. They are dragging their feet. They're not prepared to fight there. But they want to make it an Indian cause. And they want nearly 150,000 troops in Afghanistan. That is one reason where there is an American motive. There is an Israel motive, which is similar, that the Americans should not pull out of Afghanistan just because they are short of troops, so they must have more troops there. Because if they go away without denuclearizing Pakistan, state of Israel will remain in under perpetual danger. So they have an innate fear that Americans may lose heart and pull out of this region. They are already going out of Iraq. And if they were to go out of Afghanistan as well, this will be an unfinished agenda, and that Israel would be at the losing end. So the neocons and the Zionists, they together want to hatch a conspiracy so that Obama gets trapped into a situation where for next 4 years he'll keep on sorting out this imbroglio. As far as the ability is concerned, which is the other element, can you imagine that people traveling from Karachi in two rickety boats they can travel all the way to Bombay and then go into action immediately and fight a battle for 72 hours, and there are just 10 of them, and in each group there were two. This is impossible. They were carrying so much of munitions with them, and that munition lasted. They were fighting virtually the crack troops of the Indian Army for so long. And you know that in Narima House, the five Jewish hostages, they were killed by the Indian commandos. They were not killed by these people. So why would the Indian commandos kill them? And Israelis suppressed this information. It initially came out in one of the Indian Israeli dailies, but then it was suppressed. So if you go by the record of the Indian accusations against Pakistan, in the past, in year 2001, on December 13, there was an attack on the Indian Lok Sabha, and they blamed Pakistan and Lashkar-e-Taiba for it. But it turned out that these were Indian Kashmiris themselves. And because India is committing so much of atrocities in Kashmir, therefore there is a good reason for them that they would carry out something like that. Then they again, in 2006, there was this Samjhota Express case in which 68 passengers, mostly Pakistanis, were killed. And this train was stopped at an obscure railway station in Haryana, and then doors were locked and the train was set on fire. And again, this was claimed that it was Pakistani Lashkar-e-Taiba, and that they had done it because they wanted to derail the peace process. But now Colonel Prohit, Srikant Prohit, has been caught in it, and there are other Indian officers who are his accomplices, and he has a big network. They took the RDX from Deolali depot, which is a military depot.
The explosives.
So one can say that there is a deep penetration of the militant Hindus in military and intelligence organization in India. So in this case, why would they not do that? Because they want to again derail this process. And when Obama says that he will mediate on Kashmir, and there is a Kashmiri political movement picking up momentum, and in this situation, he said that he would send Bill Clinton as the mediator. Obviously, the militants in India do not want this to happen, and they had to preempt it. So Pakistan doesn't gain. The Pakistani ISI doesn't gain anything from it. The net beneficiary is either the militant Hindus.
Stay there, sir. We have to break. We have to break, General.
On their next election. And
waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, a rare interview, extremely enlightening. We're talking to the former head of Pakistani intelligence, the ISI. I want to thank Paul Watson, who we've got on the line, who's going to pop in with a question or two. I want to thank Simon over in the UK for getting us this number. And I want to thank Aaron for staying up late last night to get the producing job done to get this interview right here on the GCN Radio Network. General, continuing with motive, I have the headline here. Pakistan asserts hoax war call was real. Press minister fingers India High Commission as source of reports that threatening cell call was fake. As you know, this is in most of the major Pakistani papers. The government has the caller ID and the phone records. But the threatening call saying that India was going to attack within minutes of the terrorist attacks beginning in Mumbai a few weeks ago, this provocative call within minutes saying India was going to attack Pakistan, attempting to get Pakistan, I guess, to move troops to the border and have a conflict. And the media saying that a possible war between the two thermal nuclear powers was narrowly averted. Can you speak to that?
Yes, indeed. I think the Americans and the Indians both have been very responsible about it, because Condoleezza Rice's statement in America, in India, when she went and visited Delhi, they were very threatening towards Pakistan, and it was sort of a dictation that you have to satisfy India. Now, this is amazing that Pakistan had to satisfy India. On what score? Indians have still to come out with the evidence. And as far as this one man that they have caught, who knows that this is not a bogey, and that this man was loitering around somewhere. There are lots of Pakistanis who crossed the border illegally or legally, and he could have been picked up, and he's become the front man for singing all those stories. So one doesn't really know. It's too early to start threatening war against Pakistan, because Pakistan is a nuclear country, and if they brandish their power, conventional power, then I can assure you that as a soldier, I will say that a conventional war, limited war within the nuclear environment is not possible in the subcontinent. And if it comes to exchange of nuclear weapons, then this becomes a third world war. China cannot stay out. Russia will not stay out. Russia is already showing its belligerence towards America and Europe. And China, of course, is a very major economic power. They are a nuclear power. And if this thing happens in their backyard, they will not accept it. So this is a very dangerous situation. I think it's playing with the fire. So the whole thing is could get out of hand. It is, again, as I told you, that the part of the unfinished agenda that neocons had in their mind. And they think that now Obama will carry it out, even though the Americans want a change. But let's look at what change means. Obama has not very clearly enunciated what change would be. But one can assume that change means focusing on the domestic issues. There is an economic meltdown. The car industry is going sick. And many other things are happening inside America. The social welfare and the Medicare, etc. So in all these things, there is a need for the new administration to focus entirely on the domestic issues.
Well, General.
And for that, it will have to disengage externally.
General, as you know, in the last 3 months before Obama was even elected, he said Pakistan and Afghanistan would be his main focus. The strikes inside Pakistan, it's clear that his change means what Zbigniew Brzezinski wants, shifting what the RAND Corporation has said they want, shifting the war out of the Middle East into Central Asia. So I believe the change is going to be these provocations. Look at the neocons with Israeli and NATO-backed forces launching the sneak attack on the Russian-held South Ossetia on 888. So it appears that they are trying to launch a major, larger than a theater war, as the RAND Corporation said a month ago, they want a major new war.
Yes, indeed, you are right, because this is an old theory, which is geostrategic theory, put out first by Mackinder and then by Mahan, who was an admiral in the U.S. Navy, that this is the rimland. You have to first control the rimland in Asia before you can strike in the heartland of Asia. So this heartland, rimland thing, I think it fits into the story. It fits into the picture that if they have a conflict in the rimland and they can control it, and then it becomes so much easier to go and penetrate into the heartland. But this is really asking too much at a state when America is not in a very healthy economic condition. So I think this is a brinkmanship of the highest order. And if they enlarge the area of conflict in this war against terrorism, and if they prolong the period of conflict, then America will definitely lose.
General.
Because I know that when you are fighting the irregular fighters, when area of conflict is enlarged, let's say it's extended into the tribal areas of Pakistan, or it is pushed into Kashmir as well, so that China can be monitored and watched quite easily, then the area will become larger, and the U.S. simply does not have the troops. And there is not a moral cause strong enough for the American people to be mobilized behind it.
So that's why they stage.
This is sheer madness to be thinking of such things at this time.
So that's why they need proxies like India to destabilize the region for the encirclement of Russia and, of course, China blocking those pipelines. Now, sir, in the time we've got left, you worked with the United States, with Saudi Arabia, with Israel, or at least Pakistan did, fighting the Russian invasion. Of course, if these reports are incorrect, correct me, but you were one of the main commanders helping the Mujahideen. Then you were the head of Pakistani intelligence right at the time that you finally had the victory against the Russians. It is reported here that Al-Qaeda was founded by the new Secretary of Defense Gates and Zbigniew Brzezinski, that they were the Wahhabist fighting corps, and that they are now being used to try to bring down the Pakistani government and to stage attacks inside India. So can you speak with your particular expertise to that, and then also the fact that they're trying to now list you as a terrorist? And then thirdly, did you ever meet Osama bin Laden? Is Osama bin Laden dead many years ago of kidney failure, as Benazir Bhutto said?
Well, I was actually in charge of operations against the Soviet occupation of Afghanistan, and the Americans were providing the logistic support, and Saudis were sharing one half of the budget for this war, and it was a cheap war because in all those 10 years that we were fighting the Russians, we spent not more than $5 billion out of the American exchequer. So it was a very cheap war for the Americans to have defeated the Russians and rid the whole of the West of this red menace that they used to call. So at that time, Osama bin Laden and his colleague, they were admired and they were romanticized by the CIA operators. I had never met him then. I had nothing to do with him because I was only busy training the Afghans. We had to win a war. We had a task on our hand. It was a very big task. And we were so occupied with the training only the Afghans. No other national was trained by the ISI. I can vouch on that. Not a single person, not even a Pakistani, was trained by them. Osama bin Laden was, I had never met him, but these people used to come and talk glowingly about him. I met Osama bin Laden after my retirement from the army in 1993, December in Khartoum, and then again in year 1994, November, when I was invited by Hassan bin Turabi to an international conference, and during that conference, Osama invited us to a banquet, and it was all in an open place, and where there were many other people present. He struck to me as a very normal human being, not a bloodthirsty animal that is being presented by the CIA now. At that time, no conversation between him and me took place. I don't know whether he's living or dead, but so far, Ayman al-Zawahiri has been representing him in various interviews of Osama that have been put out. So one doesn't really know, but the last interview, which was a voice interview, in that the CIA and the other U.S. intelligence agencies authenticated that it was Osama's voice. So one doesn't really know whether he's living or dead.
Well, sir.
But even if he's not living, he's now a symbol. Al-Qaeda is a franchise. Whoever created that and for whatever reason they created, I think it wasn't there until 1996 when he was lodged in Khartoum. Later on, he was invited by Burhanuddin Rabbani, who is now part of the Northern Alliance in Kabul, and he came over and he set up his headquarters in a place called Tora Bora near Jalalabad. But that's where one started hearing of Al-Qaeda and the activities of Osama bin Laden.
General.
And also of the fact that his commander was responsible for bringing the Black Hawk down, the famous operation in Mogadishu, where an American aircraft was brought down by a Stinger, which had probably been supplied in Afghanistan to Afghan Mujahideen.
Okay, General. General, I need to, in the time we have left here, because we've only got a few minutes left with you here, maybe 5 minutes and we're going to break, and I don't want to keep you any longer. We can perhaps have you back up in the future. Specifically, though, we know his CIA control name was Tim Osman. We know he was the bag man for a lot of the Saudi money and the Israeli money going in. I know that was compartmentalized and separate from Pakistani intelligence, from what I've read, from different perspectives and U.S. intelligence. So I believe you there. My whole point here is that clearly Al-Qaeda, Al-Qaeda, didn't carry out the attacks of 9/11, as you yourself have said. And bin Laden, in his first interview, said that he didn't do it. Then they produced these computer-morphed videos and fake audios that have been checked. And the Intel Center, headed up by Rumsfeld's former lieutenant, the private group, was caught putting the same video layer in with the original video, so it's been proven that they're creating these fake videos.
Yes, there is no doubt about it, that this video, which was put out in November by George Bush and said this was Osama bin Laden, he was a high cheekbone, like the Mongoloid features, he wasn't as tall as Osama bin Laden was, and one could clearly make out that this was doctored, this had been created on purpose just to justify the attack on Afghanistan. I think there are many things which are going wrong or being done on behest of the government by the CIA, which are not correct. CIA used to be good when they were working with us, but I don't know what happened thereafter. Well, I think it is their overarching ambition, or it is their fear that America would lose its clout, whatever the reason, or it is perhaps the Israeli fear that they are surrounded by a sea of hostile enemies who could, if the Americans don't now at this point in time, they don't deliver a fatal blow to all their enemies, then Israel, who have a short shelf life, otherwise also because it is an artificial state, that they would probably not exist, or they would have...
General, you know, they have, in the time we have left, they have over 400 nukes. They have total dominance. No one could attack them with nukes. They have the anti-missile defense systems. I believe it's a red herring that they want to start World War III for their, quote, safety. It's World War III that will destroy Israel.
Yes, indeed. And I think this 2006 September experience, I think if it is any indicator for them, when they
Hezbollah.
Went into southern Lebanon and they got such a buffeting at the hands of Hezbollah, I think they dare not do something like that, because it would mean annihilation of Israel. And in any case, this Palestinian question is a very thorny question, and I don't know why the U.S. administration is not addressing it differently.
Okay.
Instead of these two different states, there should be one Abrahamic state of Palestine.
General.
Because all the three religions which have which claim that they are divine religion, they have their origin in Palestine, and I think something new has to be thought about.
All right.
But unfortunately, Bush administration, in its very at the advent of its tenure, it said that they would sort out this Palestinian issue by creating two states.
All
but
right.
After 8 years, we have gotten nowhere at all.
All right, General, we're almost out of time. Two final questions, and I'm going to let you go. And you can any websites, any books, any materials you'd like to point people at to see your side of the story, we'd love to see it. Two questions. Let me give them both to you and then answer them, please. Number one, why are they trying to now list you as a terrorist, A, when they admittedly worked with you, B, why do they always betray people like Saddam, who they worked with and set up? So, A, why are they trying to now set you up? B, where do you see the Pakistan-India situation going? Do you see the West staging more terror?
Yes, I think they are simply afraid of me because I worked with them, I understand them, I can measure them up, and I talk loudly about it. I mince no words, I pull no punches, and they are afraid that I preempt whatever scheming they do. And I am loud-voiced, there is no doubt about it, and I speak the truth. They are trying to frame me, there is no truth in it. If they had anything about me when I applied for a renewal of my visa to America, why did they not give it to me? Because if they have something, they are looking around for terrorists. Why this terrorist wants to come over and visit America, nab me, interrogate me, take me to task, take me to court, do whatever you like. It only shows that they have a malafide. As far as Saddam Hussein is concerned, this is their habit. It is a very bad habit. They cultivate friends who become like Pervez Musharraf, dictators, and then they make use of them, and then they turn upon them, and in fact, the nation suffers because of their policies. And what was the last part of your question?
All right.
Where is the India-Pakistan relation going?
Sir, hold on one moment, General. John,
yes,
Hold on, General. General, one moment, because I only have a few minutes left. John, skip this network break for stations. I'm skipping because I'm going to let him go in 3 minutes. I don't want to hold him any longer, but I'm skipping this break because this is too newsworthy. Yes, sir, I'd like you to answer that question about what do you think, knowing them, working with the globalists, the New World Order, in the past when it was still America, before we were totally dominated, what do you think their next moves are probably most probable, A? And then finally, the attacks against the government in Pakistan using Muslim fronts, does that appear to be the West trying to destabilize your government? They keep trying to kill the government. They killed Bhutto. They keep bombing government buildings. They keep bombing hotels. It appears the West is using false Mujahideen to try to overthrow Pakistan.
No, Benazir was not killed by any of the terrorists. She was removed by Americans because she had violated her agreement because they wanted to keep Pervez Musharraf there and he slapped another martial law on Pakistan. So she had become rebellious, and such a person who is a popular leader of a third world country, head of the largest political party, a woman who they could not attack as fundamentalist because she was so westernized. Therefore, it was very important for them to remove her because they have a mischievous plan which they want to put through. So they have installed instead Mr. Zardari, whom they can blackmail very easily, but have allowed him to keep the powers that of a dictator. And in fact, he is the one who is calling all the shots in Pakistan. So if at all, Pakistan is already destabilized politically. Our judicial institution simply does not exist because there is a judicial crisis. Recently, the dethroned Chief Justice of Pakistan.
Yes, who is staging the terror attacks? Because they're clearly aimed at the government, or is that the government staging them as a pretext to crack down?
No. This is because Lal Masjid was attacked, and I think George Bush addressed his nation on radio immediately after that, said this was part of our plan in war against terrorism, because they were suspecting that Pakistan Army and the inter-services intelligence were not fully cooperating, and because they did not consider it was their war. Therefore, they created this situation where the terrorists, out of sheer revenge, this is called Pakhtun Wali. This is a tradition. It has nothing to do with Islam. It is the Afghans were beholden to this tradition long before they became Muslim, and they are still carrying it out. When you take action against an Afghan, kill his daughter or his wife or his sister, he will take revenge, no doubt. What happens then? He does not behave like a Muslim or any other entity. So this was a thing which was created. And, of course, Pakistan is now in a very difficult position. We only have a stable military institution which can control the condition, and we have an ISI, but the Americans are almost every day attacking the ISI and attacking the military, saying that this is not under control of the political party,
sir,
the political power.
Sir, General.
But what is political power when parliament is sinecure? It does not work. It has no authority at all.
General, going back to 9/11, Pakistani papers, BBC reported, New York Times reported, $100,000 was reportedly wired by General Mahmoud Ahmed, the head of Pakistani intelligence, to the lead hijacker, who we know is a U.S. government decoy trained at U.S. bases. That's Newsweek, AP Reuters. General Mahmoud Ahmed, do you believe he really was being controlled by the CIA? Did he really wire $100,000 to Muhammad Atta?
Not at all. Mahmoud is a friend of mine. I met him very recently in Lahore, and he categorically denies this. I think this is all disinformation which have been adopted as a very sophisticated intelligence art.
So just to be clear, we're going to let you go, and we're very thankful and respectful of your time. You believe that the bombings and terror attacks and shootings that we've seen the last few months in Pakistan are because the Predator drones and helicopters are killing weddings, which you always notice it's a wedding that's meant to stir up the people there because it kills whole families. It's a huge insult. And then, of course, they blow up NATO cars. Of course, they then attack the government. Is that what you're saying?
This is retaliatory, and they will retaliate. I can tell you that Afghanistan nation is such that over 5,000 years, nobody has won against them. And I think the Americans cannot win unless American intention is to stir up a third world war from this point. I think there is no point in staying in Afghanistan. You should negotiate with the opposition, which is a national resistance now. It is no longer Taliban specific. It is the Afghan nation, true to their tradition. They are resisting ferociously.
General, how long can the mayor of Kabul stay in power? And isn't this really just about the West controlling the opium?
Well, he's a puppet of Kabul, and he will not stay very long. I can assure you that he's already started showing signs of nervousness. He wants to reach out to the Taliban, but Taliban would not even throw a crumb at him. I can assure you the Taliban or any other resistance fighters, They will have nothing to do with Karzai.
Well, Reuters is reporting, as you know, every major city is now encircled, and only a few cities are controlled by the U.S. force.
I have no idea, but I think the vibes have started coming out, like Robert Kagan's article in Washington Post on December 2nd. It echoes what is the World at Risk report. It is similar. They are focusing on Pakistan because Pakistan's nuclear capability is undigestible by State of Israel and by India. And therefore, there is every possibility that Pakistan becomes a target.
In closing, and this is it, we appreciate all your time. This hour is over in 2 minutes, sir. What do you see happening? I know you can't predict the future, but do you see them staging a nuke attack? Do you see them staging more terror attacks? Do you see India sneak attacking? Do you see a more radical government coming in after the staged events? What do you see happening, bad case scenario?
No, Indians are not so stupid. I think they have seen through the game. And the leftist parties, that is the left front, they are called, the communist parties in India, are very strong. India is slowly turning towards its own problems. The Shine India, Shining India, Feel Good India, this is all make-believe. I can tell you that this is a propaganda hype about India. India is in a miserable state. Their economy is also dwindling, and 400 million are living on less than $1 a day. And this is beginning to have effect because last year alone, 108,000 farmers of India committed suicide. And this will not go on. Out of 608 districts of India, 231 are already in turmoil and mostly under the control of Maoist and the Naxalites.
So they are collapsing.
Yes. So India itself has lots of problems of their own.
You're right. The GMO cotton made them commit suicide because it destroyed their lives. Well, General General Hamid Ghul, thank you so much for joining us. Any websites, any books, any materials you think people should read to learn more?
Thank you, sir.
Any books or websites that you think people should read to learn more?
Oh, I don't have a website. Unfortunately, but I think you have a website. They can read all my talk.
Absolutely. We'll post the audio and a transcript at InfoWars.com.
Okay.
Let me say bye to you as this hour ends, as we go to break, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back with the second hour. Again, I want to thank General Hamid Ghul. An amazing exclusive, folks, unedited live.